73 degrees. Weather brought to you by Theater Kalamazoo, home to more than a dozen producing theaters in Southwest Michigan. Visit theaterkalamazoo.com for a full listing of theaters and upcoming shows. Raj Taylor with you on a Friday afternoon. And yes, the forecast mentions some rain, but we just talked to Bob Larson, who said not such a worry this evening. And he said there might be a few showers out there, but that you really aren't going to need any rain gear if you're heading out to take part in any of the evening's football games. And joining us in the studio just before the end of the show, Carolyn Binder, Dr. Sports, will stop by to tell us what game you're going to hear live on 1660 The Fan this evening, brought to you by Meyer. Coming up in just a few minutes, we're going to be talking with Sandra Minuti. Sandra is with Charity Navigator. Think of them as a consumer reports for charitable organizations. What organizations get you the biggest bang for the buck? And I have regular charities that I monitor. You can sign up on their website to have your charities constantly monitored. You can just check in and see if there's been any significant changes in the organizations where you're sending your money to do something for you. One of the things we're going to talk to her about is there are always scams that pop up following any kind of national tragedy. And we've all seen the devastation in Colorado from the torrential 1,000-year rain they had a week ago, and the damage that was done to both the infrastructure of the state. Some parts of the state may be isolated for a year. Some may be even longer. All traffic goes up these very narrow valleys that come down out of the mountains. And there are multiple bridges in those valleys. And a lot of them were damaged. But people also lost their personal belongings in this process. And there are lots of people who like to help in these situations. And sadly, there are also lots of people who want to take advantage of those people who want to help in these situations. As a result, there are scams, and Sandra Minuti will alert us to what scams may be out there and who may end up being parted with their money. Rather cloudy and humid this afternoon, although partly cloudy and cooler later this evening. Ultimately, by tomorrow morning, a low of 55. Cooler, less humid tomorrow, times of clouds and sun. Maybe a sprinkle in places tomorrow afternoon. Sort of lake effect stuff. And tomorrow's high, 65. Sunday, sun, maybe some clouds. 64 the high. We're up to 73 degrees in Kalamazoo. Joining us now, the chief financial officer and all-round good person at Charity Navigator, Sandra Minuti. Sandra, how you doing this afternoon?
Good. good. I love that introduction. Thank you.
An all-around good person?
That's great.
let's start with Colorado. Please tell me you've not heard of any scams, people trying to take advantage of people who want to help the Coloradans who need help at this point. Tell me there's no scams out there.
None that we've heard of yet. That doesn't mean that they're out there, though. And the word of caution I would give your listeners is be very careful of these new crowdfunding sites that have gotten very popular in recent disasters. Anybody really can go on any of these sites, set up a fund within seconds, start collecting money, and there's nothing to prevent them from, you know, going on a wonderful vacation with that money. You have no assurances that it will actually get to victims. So we're really urging donors to make sure that they stick with tried and true charities and not give through these new crowdfunding sites.
Have you noticed a bump in internet traffic to the site, to your site, Charity Navigator, looking for ideas on how to help in Colorado?
Yeah, and we've had a lot of emails and phone calls from donors as well. There does seem to be a very strong interest. It's a terrible situation that people are dealing with out there, and Americans, as always, are tremendously generous and want to step up and help.
Mm-hmm. If there's no scams been uncovered so far in Colorado, are there any scams going in the country in general, unrelated to that, people should be aware of?
I think in general, right now we're hearing a lot of concerns again about those crowdfunding sites. They're really not a safe way to give. We also have a new feature on our website, relatively new, called Donor Advisories. Currently, we have 121 of them published on our site. And these are charities that we've been alerted to that have been involved in scandals. They're being investigated by the authorities. They haven't filed their data properly, so we are suspicious of their activities. So these are groups that donors really want to avoid.
Okay. And are the majority of those crowdfunding sites, or are they various charitable organizations that end up being listed there?
There's really a large variety of groups listed there. Even some of the groups that really tug at your heartstrings that overly use for-profit telemarketers to raise their money. So very few of the precious dollars we have to give are doing anything charitable. But there's really a whole range of organizations there.
Okay. Tell us a little more about this crowdfunding. How does that work? What does that mean? And how are they different than other charities?
They're usually not set up as charities. They're just websites where they let people set up a fund. And so you can quickly create a page on this website, and then you start asking people to come there and fund whatever it is you're looking to fund. So we see after disasters new pages popping up where people claim to be victims, claim to know victims. This really gained some traction after the Boston bombing. There were a lot of pages created for victims, but we have no way to verify that that is truly a victim, and even if it is, there's no way to verify that the money will be spent on some sort of aid for that victim, as the page may indicate. And again, not that somebody would just take that money and run and go have a lavish vacation. So there's a variety of websites that do this, and they each take a little bit of money out of the process. So when you contribute, say, $100, they'll keep a small fee to process that contribution, and that's how they stay in business. But then whoever receives that money can do with it whatever they want.
You have no idea where that money is going.
Exactly. So we say, you know, that's not a smart way to give. It's very risky unless you know that it's somebody in your local community and you've been able to verify with them that that's their page.
We're talking with Sandra Minuti, Chief Financial Officer of Charity Navigator. While you're on the phone with us, talk to us a little about Charity Navigator's mission and how you're funded.
So Charity Navigator exists to help donors make informed giving choices, and we do that by rating nearly 7,000 charities. Those 7,000 charities represent about 55% of all donations, and we rate them based on two broad areas of their performance, their financial health and their accountability and transparency, which has to do with governance issues.
Mm-hmm.
We're adding a third piece that looks at the charity's results because that's ultimately the most important thing. But we're finding most charities aren't measuring and tracking that data. So by adding that to our rating system, we're hoping to incentivize a big change in the sector and get more charities on board with actively measuring and reporting on their impact.
Mm-hmm.
We happen to be a charity as well. So we never charge the charities to be rated, and we never charge anybody to access our analysis. But if you spend any time on our site, you'll probably see a pop-up appeal in front of your face asking for you to contribute a few dollars to enable us to continue to do what we do.
Mm-hmm. And personally, I have found it very valuable. And leading up to this discussion, I described Charity Navigator as sort of a consumer reports for charities. Is that a fair description?
Absolutely. A lot of people call us a watchdog as well, but I think that consumer report for charities is a more accurate description.
Great. How would people get to Charity Navigator?
All you need to do is go to charitynavigator.org, and across every page on our site is a charity search bar in yellow, so you can just type in the name of your favorite charity or access the advanced search option right there within that toolbar and look for new charities you may want to support.
I appreciate your taking time to talk with me this afternoon, Sandra. It's been a while, and I'm certain we'll have you back soon.
Thank you so much.
Have a good weekend.
You too.
Sandra Minuti, the Chief Financial Officer of Charity Navigator, the consumer reports of charities. At 590 WKZL, 72 degrees. Raj Taylor with you on the way home today. Becoming partly cloudy and cooler later tonight, a low of 55. Cooler, less humid tomorrow, times of clouds and sun, a shower in places, and a high of 65. Sunday, sun and clouds, and a high 64. Weather brought to you by Comerica Bank, focused on business for nearly 150 years. Visit comerica.com/business. Well, the Great Recession accomplished and had a lot of impacts, one of which is an increase in the suicide rate for men. The first study to survey the mental health impact of the economic downturn on a global scale reports that in 2009, an additional 5,000 people killed themselves. Researchers compared unemployment rates and suicide data in 54 countries around the world in 2009, the year after the Great Recession. They found that a 37% higher unemployment rate was linked to a 3.3% increase in men's global suicide rate. The suicide rates for women were largely unaffected, although the study did find that the suicide by women rose slightly in the Americas. And there was a bigger jump in the suicide rate in countries that used to enjoy much lower unemployment. That is, in places where most people were used to financial success. The majority of the additional deaths took place in 18 countries in the Americas, where the unemployment rate rose by up to 101%. In those nations, the overall suicide rate rose by 6.4%. Nearly double the global average. And when we were talking with Linda Teeter at the beginning of the show, we found that unemployment in Michigan for 3 months running had remained stagnant until we came to August, when Michigan's unemployment rate actually bumped up. And this study doesn't go into why more males committed suicide than females due to economic circumstance. But the sexual stereotypes in this country, males are the breadwinner of the family. And as a result, when they are unable to fulfill that duty, perhaps they have more mental anguish associated with that. But Michigan, that started the recession long before the rest of the country joined us, and now that the economy in Michigan appears to be stagnating and we're not seeing continued growth in the number of jobs that are available, and as I just mentioned, unemployment actually bumping up a bit in August. One thinks that this the mental issues experienced during the Great Recession will linger when they get into Michigan. The high school game of the week. And we'll hear more about this from Dr. Sports when she joins us just before the top of the hour. But Hackett Catholic Central versus Olivet at 6:45 this evening on 1660 The Fan, live from Mayor's Riverfront Park, as Hackett Catholic Central and Olivet play football.
Friday's Mega Millions jackpot is $145 million. Get your ticket today. Everybody's working for the weekend. Everybody wants a new
romance. 4:39. It is the weekend. Raj Taylor taking you home. Coming up in just a minute, we're going to talk to Paul Clements, a candidate for the Democratic nomination for the 6th District Congressional seat. The weekend weather becoming partly cloudy and cooler later tonight, a low 55. Cooler, less humid tomorrow, times of clouds and sun and a shower in spots, a high 65. Sunday, sunny and periods of clouds, but 64 the high. 72 in Kalamazoo. The weather brought to you by Lake Michigan Credit Union, the best place for your money. Learn more at lmcu.org. Joining us now is Paul Clements. Paul, how you doing this afternoon?
I'm doing very well, thanks, Roger. How about yourself?
I'm just fine. Well, let me start with an obvious question. This week, We learned that Fred Upton will be primaried by a Tea Party person, Jim Bussler from Dowagiac. What impact do you see that having on the race for the 6th District? What impact will that have on the Democratic side of the equation?
Well, if we look at the impact of the Tea Party on the Republican Party generally, it's been pushing it further and further to the right. I think we saw that in the last election with Upton, with his Tea Party challenger at that time, and we're seeing it again right now. We're seeing it at the national level and locally. So, you know, Upton likes to portray himself as a moderate, but he has not been a moderate for a long time, partly because he keeps selling out to the Tea Party. So certainly, you know, I mean, that'll probably help the Democratic side.
Okay. Let's take a look at some of the current activities of the House of Representatives. Let's look at yesterday's vote to take a whack at the SNAP program or food stamps. And Fred voted for the $40 billion cut. And the fact that Michigan's unemployment rate bumped up in August seemed to have no impact on Fred's vote. Had you been in office, would Michigan's unemployment rate not declining in the most recent quarter and actually taking a bump in August, would that have impacted your voting?
It certainly would, but I probably wouldn't have been voting to cut food stamps in the first place because we just still have so many of our citizens who need that food. You know, I mean, we're a rich enough country. We don't need to have people going hungry. Here in Kalamazoo County, St. Joseph County, more than 20% of the kids are already going hungry, are already struggling with hunger. And so you add to that increase in unemployment. So many people have finished up their unemployment insurance. Our food pantries can't keep up with the demand at the end of the month. So this is just so mean-spirited.
Is it that, or is it just ideology running amok without any concerns for the human impact? Are you suggesting that this is a deliberate punitive measure?
Well, you know, it's hard for me to read someone else's mind.
Uh-huh.
It seems to be part of the general desire to cut any kind of government spending, you know, any kind of support for people who run into hard times. You know, I don't know how far it's just ideology. Certainly the effects of it, if it were to become law, would be very, very serious for very many people. And, you know, if Fred Upton isn't really taking account of that, then that's a big problem.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Let's look at a couple of other issues that are in front of the House. One is they passed a continuing resolution for funding the government that includes the death knell for Obamacare. They did that knowing that the Senate is extremely unlikely to agree with them. And even if the Senate were to agree with the House, it would be vetoed by the president anyway. We are now at a point where even if Congress were to get its act together, we may still be facing a government shutdown the 1st of October. What are your thoughts on that?
You know, the Congress is a little more popular than Osama bin Laden used to be, but not a whole lot more. And this is just exactly the kind of congressional antics that are contributing to its rock-bottom poll ratings. Again, we need a Congress where people can work across the aisle. We need a Congress where Fred Upton has said that he actually likes many of the principles, many of the purposes of Obamacare, but he's not willing to work with the president to fix whatever he might disagree with about it. They just want to I mean, we're all Obamacare is already law. We're already seeing many, many programs being carried forward. People are already benefiting from Obamacare, and they just want to completely cut the budget, which they can even see for the reasons that you've already said is a complete non-starter. So it's just so disappointing.
I completely agree, since there's no chance of it being successful.
Exactly.
Are the Republicans putting themselves at risk, even with their own party? I read a study here recently that said the portion of Obamacare that allows people to keep their children on their health insurance to age 26, it was actually used by more Republicans than independents or Democrats. Some Republicans going to be irritated if they're successful and they were able to kill Obamacare?
No, certainly they would be when you start to see the results of that. But in all likelihood, they will not be successful in that. What they may succeed in is actually shutting down the government for a little while, and that will hurt everybody. You know, I mean, John McCain has said, you know, remember, this is what we did back in the 1990s, and the voters responded, and the Republicans lost their majority in Congress. So this is the kind of things people, the voters pay attention to.
Well, you're out in and about talking with people in the 6th District. Do you get the sense that who's going to be blamed if there is a government shutdown when you talk to the people that you're talking to?
If history is any guide, and from what I'm hearing, it certainly would be the Republicans who would take most of the blame for that.
Okay. Where do we go from here? Say we don't repeal Obamacare, and we're still looking at threatening to not increase the top for the deficit. I'm having a mental moment, and
yeah, there's that debt limit that we're running up against.
Yeah,
and
will that
up
be
until
used?
Very recently. You know, this has just been a complete routine thing that when we owe money, you know, we need to pay the money that we owe. That's pretty basic. But just in the last year, the Republican Congress has been trying to use this as a threat and as a bargaining tool, basically putting our whole financial credibility at risk just to win a few political points and to try to get things through that they can't get through normal politics. So this is really dangerous. The financial markets, it's not going to help our country's financial markets if the Republicans are playing Russian roulette with the debt.
Yeah, yeah. If the Republicans had not been so successful in creating these artificial crises, the threat to shut the government down, there is nothing organic in the world that's causing that to happen. It's happening because Republicans choose to have that happen. If we weren't be distracted by these artificial crises, what should the House of Representatives be doing at this time?
Well, in terms of Obamacare, it's moving in the right direction for getting people on health insurance, but it still doesn't address, there's still problems with it. There are issues that have to be addressed. There's so much we need to be doing to improve the efficiency, the evidence basis of our health system. Our infrastructure is crumbling. The bridges, there are 6,000 bridges in the country that are, you know, really in danger, that need to be fixed. And the longer you go without fixing them, the more it costs when you do get around to it. So we're wasting money by not fixing them in more ways than one. Certainly in terms of education, there are many things that we need to be doing to improve our education system. You know, our country faces a lot of challenges, but our federal government is so wound up in knots, and I'll say frankly, I think mainly due to the Republican intransigence, that it can't work hard it can't do its job to address these critical issues.
Mm-hmm. I appreciate your taking time out of your day to chat with us this afternoon. Paul, if people would like to learn more about your vision for governance and representing the 6th District, where would they learn about you?
Well, please do take a look at my website, clementsforcongress.com, and I lay out a lot of my positions there.
Thanks, Paul. I appreciate talking with you this afternoon.
Thank you, Roger. My pleasure.
590 WKZO time is 451, 72 degrees, and we'll get an update from Dr. Sports coming up in just a couple minutes.
Gonna sit down in the kitchen and fix me something good to eat and make my head a little high, make the whole day complete. Cause we're gonna lay around the shanty mama and put a good buzz on.
Ah, yes, you've been waiting for that song. And joining me in the studio is Dr. Sports, Carolyn Binder. Hi, Carolyn.
Hi, it's not too often we're actually in the same area.
Yes,
you're usually over there, or I'm usually over there.
Looking at you through glass.
Yeah.
You can reach me now, so I'm going to be nice.
Wow. Okay.
Well, first, let's start with tonight's game.
Yeah. Tonight, the High School Live game of the week is going to be at Mayor's Riverfront Park, Soyson Rapids, Clawson Field. I might be saying that backwards. Anyway.
Okay.
I'll get it right for the broadcast.
All
but it's
right.
Hackett and Olivet. Olivet 3-0 on the season. Hackett going for their best start since 2006. They're 2-1.
All right.
And so, and Olivet's also ranked ninth in Division 5.
And our coverage begins at 6:45,
yes.
Who's with you this evening?
Robert Youngs. He was with me a couple weeks ago when we were out at Schoolcraft, a good friend of mine, and he played in the KVA as well during his high school days, and so he brings great insight to the broadcast. We're looking forward to it.
Cool. And let's take a look at the Tigers. The magic number is
4.
You can count them on one hand.
Yes, you can, and they're going to open a series tonight with the Chicago White Sox at home. Max Scherzer looking for win number 20. This is his fifth attempt at the 20th win, so he's hoping fifth time's a charm against the White Sox. They're not that good of a team. Their record doesn't say that anyway, but they've given the Tigers fits over the season, so should be interesting. But yes, the magic number is 4.
So even if Cleveland does nothing, they could clinch it by just winning the 4 games in a row,
right?
And they're on the way to the playoffs.
Well, they're going to the playoffs anyway, but to clinch the division.
Okay.
So.
Good weekend for sports.
Yes.
We'll look forward to hearing you from Mayor's Riverfront Park at 6:45 this evening.
Soyson Rapids, Clawson Field. It just came to me.
All right.
All right, I got it.
Thanks, Dr. Sports.
Yep.
This is Kalamazoo's news station and Kalamazoo's home for Detroit Tiger baseball. 590 WKZO Kalamazoo.